You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for April 15th, 2022. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we get an extra booster shot for COVID and a single malt booster shot when we have to watch Hannity for work. It's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
I remember
when
youngest child was like 12.
Yeah.
And she brought a quart of bleach into my office and said, here's a beverage for when you have to watch Hannity for work.
Yeah. Get him young, man. I tell you, 12.
And we still have to. That was, you know, years ago. Still have to watch Hannity for work.
Yeah. Well, you have to watch it more than I do.
I do. I have to watch more Hannity than you have to watch.
I have to brush up against it. So, you know, when I hear on the many, many never Trump, both sides do it. Both sides need to listen to each other. We're all in bubbles. You know, the problem on both sides is that neither side listens to the other side. I'm like, No.
We definitely listen to what is going on to a fault.
Yeah.
On the right. And
the WIND, I think was the name of the radio station in Chicago, the Wingnut radio station in Chicago that carried Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the scum. And I think Joe Walsh, its motto was not a quote from Edmund Burke. It wasn't, you know. It wasn't about marginal tax rates. It was liberals hate us. That was it. That was their motto. That was their business model. Liberals hate us. And so as Athena was shouting on Twitter yesterday or today, basically, fuck you. We have been listening to you assholes for 20 years, watching what you're doing and screaming warnings. And now you're saying you really got to do more outreach to these guys. You got to understand. Fuck you. We do understand you. That's the problem. That's what scares the shit out of you. We really do understand you, and we hate you, and we wish you would go away. And we know that you want to kill us all, or throw us in cages, and fuck up our country, because that's what you say every goddamn day. So we do understand you. We understand you perfectly, and that's why we're not allowed to, you know, sit in front of a microphone.
I'm not quite as virulent as Drift Glass about all of this, as you know.
I'm pretty.
I think they want control and to beyond anything else. There is no policy anymore that they want. They want control, and this was proven. We're going to get into this whole thing, but this was definitely proven by the revelations that Mitch McConnell knew all about Trump's plans to reverse the election.
He knew.
You know, you don't want to mess with control of the Senate, so. With those special elections coming up, we have to wait and just everybody stay calm and let's get the power. Let's get my power. That's what he meant. Let's get my power settled first.
Well, and I will say, I will dial this back a little bit, but I will say there is a very clear line of demarcation about the people who are permitted a large public platform to talk about politics. And one of the things you're not allowed to do is to say, look, I've been listening to these assholes for 30 years. I can tell you everything you want. You do not need to invite Joe Walsh on your TV show to tell you about the conservative movement. I can tell you all about them. And here's the thing. I won't lie to you. I won't edit myself out of the picture. I won't pretend I never knew. No one could have known. And that's the problem. The whole argument for trying to find some common ground, trying to reach across the aisle, is that we've never tried that before.
Yeah.
We should give that a shot. Like, no, we try that all the time. We tried it during the Clinton administration. We tried it during the Obama administration. It never fucking works, and it only gets worse every time we try.
Well, and I think it also, just moving onto the balcony for a minute to look at the larger picture, has to do with
Lady Mussolini.
It has to do with heteronormative behavior. Yeah. And white supremacy and the white voices and the straight voices and those voices that we don't punch down to are the ones that matter. And so we're going to make sure that those voices stay on top and everyone else has to accommodate in order to have a space on the platform or a microphone.
Well, and
that's different. That really is the difference between the parties, because what the Democratic Party should do, and it at its best does do, is not just give voice to marginalized people, but actual power to marginalized people.
Right. Yeah.
And we've had some exceptions to that that I'm not happy with. But overall, our goal, our stated goal, is to give voice to marginalized people. And the stated goal of the Republican Party is to punch down on marginalized people.
Well,
including women.
Our stated goal is to win elections so that we can allocate power to people without power.
Right.
That has to come first. Winning has to come first, because without winning, you don't get to do anything. And to win, you have to understand your playing field. And this fucking nonsense about we need to find the perfect center, we need to find the middle ground, we need to find... No, we do not. And what we do need to do, I was given an article to read by alert listener Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just read you the title if you don't mind.
Sure.
We Democrats face the huge challenge of courting respectable white people who are indifferent to suffering.
Mm. Yep.
There is this belief. There is this persistent belief that we're on the side of the angels. I believe that. I agree with that. That democracy is threatened. I agree with that. I believe that. We've been under threat from the right for a very long time, not just the last 4 years or 5 years, for decades, since Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh and Nixon and all that. Everyone listening probably knows the history. They've been heading this way the whole time. And we've been shouting, you got to stop them or it's going to get really bad. The problem we have is the belief that voters, there's a group of people out there called voters, who if you just explain to them the nature of the threat and how dangerous it is, they will go, okay, I'll vote for the not fascist party. Mm-hmm. And that just isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of, you know, what you might classify as swing voters or undecided. So I consider them cowards, who just don't give a shit about
democracy. Or low information voters, or people for whom politics is not the center of their life. Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I agree. I agree with the politics is not the center of their life. But you know what? I'll bet you they spend at least an hour a week watching Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet you they spend maybe an hour more watching Survivor or a cooking show, which I watch. I watch cooking shows. But they in the last 30 years, they have not been able to trouble themselves to spend any time to understand the country that they live in and the difference between
Can I ask you about that? Can I ask you about that for a minute? Because I've been having conversations on Twitter with people and conversations in my head that I really want to bring this to the forefront.
Okay.
A woman on Twitter asked today, do you know Republican women who've had abortions and still vote anti-choice?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a flood of answers of, yes, I have a friend who got an abortion when she was 18.
Right.
She's married a cop and has voted Republican the rest of her life.
Right.
And we had long threads of people saying along those similar lines, you know, she's a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic and she'll never mention it, but she didn't want to get kicked out of prep school. So at 16, she...
That's right.
Right. And it's always rape, the life of the mother. And my personal special situation, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. You know, that's the Baptist line, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Then there's the incredibly privileged white guy who's 25 to 55 who figures nothing he ever does is going to touch me.
Right.
So... Right. I can vote for Trump as a joke because I'm not going to vote for Hillary. And it doesn't matter because regardless of what happens, I'm going to be okay.
Well, and
I've already lost my job.
I would include in that bubble. I would include in that bubble the entire mainstream media.
Yes, right. Really, nothing's going to happen to Manhattan liberals.
No. Well, nothing will happen to David Brooks.
Right.
The door will never be kicked down and Matthew
He's never
going to
get fired for his horrible take.
No.
Chris Salas is never going to
fired. I don't mean fired. I mean the mob will never come for them.
Yeah.
The fascist mob, the cattle cars will never roll up to their. That will never happen to them. So it's not their problem. They don't need to worry about it. They can report.
David Brooks never gets assigned to a Trump rally.
No,
where he has
not.
To be in a pen where people are screaming at them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that bubble of people you were talking about, to which I would simply add all the people who have. Absolutely no fear that however bad things get, it'll actually personally affect them in any way.
So, and finally, you know, the group of people that really I get incredibly angry about are people who are Social Security recipients, Medicare recipients love their government paycheck, love their government pension, and vote against that. Vote against government help that they already receive because they know Democrats will protect them.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I can be... Well, and that really is the story of the 2016 election, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was all of these factions. It was the both. It was the Matthew Dowd faction, the David Brooks faction, the it doesn't matter, let's disrupt the system faction. You know, it doesn't matter. Let's just throw it all in the air, burn it all down. Both sides are bad. The corrupt duopoly.
And that's white privilege in a nutshell. It's white privilege because black women didn't do that.
And it's white privilege and one African-American gentleman who's currently on MSNBC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was like, you know, I ain't voting for Hillary. I'm not voting for Hillary in Time magazine.
Yeah.
And once Trump was elected, white people let me down.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, this is not my problem. This is not my issue. And everyone was so sure Hillary was going to win that they could just take swings at her all day long.
Yeah.
They could run story after story about her fucking emails on the front page of the New York Times and feel no problem because she was going to win. And then James Comey and the New York Times,
they were tough neutral. On her. Right.
We were as tough as her as we were on Trump. And then Trump won. And they all went, oh, shit. Oh, shit. What do we do now? Well, maybe it'll be okay. Maybe. Oh, shit. It's not working out. Oh. Well, it all started in 2016. It wasn't our fault.
Right.
And once Biden's in there, we can all forget it ever happened. We can all pretend it never happened. But the
and
group
start
of people,
punching Biden daily.
Yes. Because that's what we do. That's all we know
and
how to
make
do.
Make sure that his approval numbers stay in the low 40s, just like Trump's.
We need a competitive race. It doesn't. Right. But that's that's the part that I don't disagree with that I hear that as an excuse a lot. Mm-hmm. Part I disagree with is, well, these people don't have time to follow politics. You're right. You don't have time to know which HR is going to take away Roe versus Wade. You don't have time to know the name of the governor in some state you're not a part of. I know all the man on the street interviews from the Jay Leno days where people couldn't name one Supreme Court justice to save their life. Got
or
it.
Their own congressman. No, right.
But you have lived in this country your life, your entire life, and you never fucking noticed the Iraq War. You never fucking noticed the impeachment of Donald Trump twice. You never fucking noticed the January 6th insurrection. No, that's not, I don't have time to follow politics. That is, I'm terrified of having an opinion.
Right,
I don't want to pick
anything. Because I'll be shamed, because I'll be wronged, and I'll be wrong. And I don't want to be wrong, so I just won't have an opinion. But, you know, you and I have noticed that in 17 years of blogging, too.
Sure.
I'll write a 15-paragraph analysis of the abortion issue and family planning and Sarah Palin and and it will be as deep and as wide as the longest river on earth. I write a little tiny post about a rabbit in my garden and I get 50 comments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No one comments on the thing I spent 6 hours writing because that requires being at that level somehow. You know, they might appreciate it, but they're not going to comment on it. But if I say gardening, everybody's got an opinion on the cooking show or the latest HBO Max special. Or
I do, too.
I mean, this is why we have spent how many column inches on on the slap at the Oscars. Right. Mm-hmm. More people have watched that than watched anything to do with the Ukraine war.
Right.
Period.
So let me button this up. So when
maybe
I hear people
somebody needs to go slap Liz Cheney at the J6 hearings.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
No, but I'm saying it. I'm saying maybe if we had some,
some fireworks,
had a Monty Python fish slapping thing going on,
some pizzazz. Oh my God!
Yeah, everybody would talk about it.
Where's our glitter bomber when we need them?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
But. When I hear I don't have time to these people, it's never you. It's always these people don't have time to follow politics. Yeah, well, you know what? They could do some minimal self-education if they gave a shit. They could. They live in this country. They occasionally politics impinges on their life and they could, but they don't want to. And the reason is I've come to believe they don't give a shit about democracy at all, which means that all of the good liberal impulse to just show them the facts. Don't you realize our democracy is in danger? All of which I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Won't persuade them one fucking iota. Doesn't register with them. They don't give a shit about it. They want to know, you know, you can tell them, you know, oil prices, our world market. It's fungible. We had this pandemic, and there's a war in Ukraine. Build a fucking pipeline to my backyard.
Yeah, right.
The guy who tells them that is going to get their vote. All I got to do is build a pipeline, and it's coming down and say, get oil, and it'll be free. And you explain to them the nuances of healthcare. Donald Trump says, I will get a healthcare system up for you. It'll cost pennies. It'll be better cheap.
Yeah.
And I want that. Right. You cannot sit with these fucking idiots and explain democracy to them and have them care. They live in a democracy. See,
that's why I think that Democrats, and I don't know who has the power to do this, if Nancy Pelosi has, she should put off the J6 hearings until October 15th. And you know, you got to have them right before the election. Yeah. I think that's why you see Chuck Schumer making noises right now about keep writing your congressman about student loan debt forgiveness, because we think we've just about got Biden convinced that we need to do it. And he said that this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a slow burn to get it done in mid-September.
Well,
because you can't,
I understand.
You can't depend on the memory of, and as I said on Twitter, I was like, you know, watch in October 1st, Fox News is going to have Hunter Biden was born in Kenya. Yeah.
And all of
anything to flood the zone.
All of that shit works with the audience that's already watching Fox.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just write it all off. It's just one big giant shithole.
Except that Fox is a shithole that has many tentacles.
I understand.
And so you get the New York Post saying, saying Jared Kushner controversy reminds people of Hunter Biden scandal.
So all of those undecided voters that read the New York Post for their politics. No, they're all the same. They're all the same. They're all the big slab of racist stupid. And they get their news from a lot of different sources. Hey,
but
first I go
but
to Fox.
They're all Rupert Murdoch sources.
Right. But then I go over to OAN. But you know what? Then I read Breitbart.
But you know, I read the Wall Street Journal.
Like, wait a minute. It's all the same shit. It's all the same Trump. Those people, I write them off. Mm-hmm. They're not my species anymore. They have chosen to lay down with the devil. And they're loving every fucking minute of it. And that is their life. And they're dragging the rest of us down with them. What I'm interested in are the people who just don't give a shit either way. Who
and
do
so
not
they,
care.
They may vote for Democrats in the midterms or not.
If you
stay home.
If you scare them or bribe them, they will vote for you. If you scare the shit out of them with something that they think is going to, you know, the idea that pedophiles are coming for your children, that works. It's a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that scares them where they live. Mm-hmm. The idea that, you know, the Green New Deal is why your gas prices are so high. Really? I didn't know that. Oh my God, I can't vote for those guys. People who are that fucking stupid can only be persuaded by greed and fear. Honestly, just stop trying to reason with them. You bribe them.
Legal weed on the ballot.
Yes. Give them pot. Forgive their loans. Promise them tax cuts. Promise them anything. It doesn't fucking matter. Because what we've seen is you don't have to deliver on anything.
Yeah.
Trump delivered on nothing. He built, 100 miles of shitty wall that fell down.
And
it got 10 million more votes in the next election.
Yes, he did.
So you don't have to deliver on shit. And so stop listening to people who are giving advice to Democrats about find the center, you know, reach across the aisle, find no. Bribe them and scare them. That's all that works. For the rest of us who are in the pro-democracy camp, you got us already. We're good. You don't need to persuade
and
me.
And we know what the second part of Build Back Better is. And we want that. Yeah. And so we're going to vote Democratic in order to get these very specific things on elder care and child care and better schooling and preschool.
Right.
And we know what we want. We're going to vote for it. We're not going to vote Republican ever.
No.
So, yeah. And women are scared. Women are waking up to
what's coming.
15-week abortion bans and these white guy, millionaire Republican governors tripping over themselves in Oklahoma, in Texas, in Florida, all passing these draconian abortion bans that are unconstitutional.
All of which are true. And you don't run on these rich guys and their 15-week abortion ban. You run on, the Republican Party wants your daughter to be forced to bear her rapist child.
Rapist baby.
The Republican Party is the reason your gas prices are so high. The Republican Party caused inflation. The Republican Party is full of rapists and pedophiles. And we got the it can't be longer than 9 syllables. I swear to God. It just can't. And I have these wonderful extended conversations with people on social media and an email who have, you know, long, eloquent explanations for human psychological behavior. Like, that's all great, and it's completely useless. Because the minute you try to apply, the minute the 7-syllable word, the minute the $10 word comes out of your vocabulary, they will stop listening.
Yeah, right.
You got to talk fourth grade. And you got to talk in simple sentences.
And he says what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Except that only works, his thing works with Republican voters. This is my beef with all of the Never Trump, all the Lincoln Project. They do not know how to get voters to the polls. They know how to get Republican voters to the polls.
Yeah, right.
And the way you get Republican voters to the polls is say, gays are coming for your children. And they're good at that because they're terrible, terrible people. But they their track record in the last election was shit. Because they don't know how to get anybody else.
Democrats to the polls.
Or people in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, when I heard Rick Wilson spouting off today on his very own little podcast about stop talking about gun control. Stop it. Stop talking about gun control. When we were in power, we knew exactly what we'd do. Those gun-grabbing liberals want to come for your guns. And it doesn't matter what the subject is. It doesn't matter what the issue is. The rural Democratic voter in Pennsylvania, all they'll hear is gun-grabbing liberals coming from the guns.
Yeah.
Well, why is it that theoretical Democratic voter in rural Pennsylvania is hearing that message? From where is that voter hearing that message? Oh, from Fox News. Oh, okay. So if they're not a fucking Democrat.
Right.
They may call themselves that. But if the message they're hearing is gun-grabbing liberals coming for your guns, then they're not listening to any of the sources that we talk through. They're listening to Republican sources. And so, you know, and the whole thing about guns is like, well, Joe Biden wants to crack down on ghost guns and do background checks. And all of the advice I hear from these people who are our allies is dump the progressives, dump them, beat up on them, shit on them. And just, you know, those people are poison. You might agree with their policies, but just, you got to shit all over your base.
Such a lie.
And
when you drill down to how popular these policies are, it's just a lie.
And the problem is, as always, is not messaging. It's not. Yeah. It's delivery. It's the delivery system. Rachel Bitticoffer and you can both write great 2-line ads all day long, but there's no delivery system that gets them into people's ears and eyes the same way hate radio and Fox News and Breitbart gets them into Republican eyes. There just isn't. All right.
So now that we've done a 25-minute primal scream about the midterms, Driftglass.
Well, but this let's loop it back to what happens. What does it take to cross the line? And it takes calling Mitt Romney a pedophile.
Yes, it does. Isn't that interesting that that was the line that was crossed a week ago?
Yes.
With Marjorie Taylor Greene. And so we went to church on Sunday, Palm Sunday.
Like we do.
And
We ushered at church.
Yes, we did. Passed the plate. And the sermon was quite a surprise.
It was as my former grandmother-in-law would have said, a Joe Daisy.
And this is from a pastor who is not someone who steps into political waters.
No. Actively avoids them.
Absolutely avoids doing that. And he brought up political ads. He brought up primary elections. He did not bring up political parties at all. Nope. He didn't name any names.
Nope.
But he was connecting. I mean, this is getting into Bible bitch territory. Or as we call it, last-minute liturgist.
Yeah, last-minute liturgist.
Which is me. I'm the last-minute liturgist.
Walking the door, Blue Gal, could you read the liturgy today? Yeah, okay,
I'm always available. Fine. Not scared. I know how to say Eloi, Eloi, Lama Sabachthani without giggling.
In a big voice so that old ladies can hear you in the back of the
Everybody
church.
Can hear me. Yep. Yeah. But the connection in the sermon was between the scribes and Pharisees who, you know, were responsible for the death of Jesus.
Right.
Okay. Nailed him to the people that nailed him to the cross and gambled at the foot of the cross for his tunic. Connecting those people to, I think it was pretty clear, the modern day Republican Party.
Oh, it was.
I think it was pretty clear.
These people had to lie to preserve their power.
To preserve their power. And how far were they willing to sacrifice their own integrity and the things that they said they believed in order to win?
Right.
Winning at all costs was what mattered to the scribes and Pharisees. And today we have the same lesson. People that are willing to sacrifice their integrity, sacrifice being honorable in order to win what? And he was clear. It's about power and winning. That's it. It's not about any principle. And that was the same with the scribes and Pharisees. It's not about principle. There's lots of other people out there that are a threat to the Romans. This isn't about principle. This is about winning.
Preserving our power. Preserving the hierarchy. Preserving our position in society. And to do that, they're going to lie. When they're asked, did he really say this stuff? Oh, yeah, he said it. Oh, yeah. I was there, man. He said it. And they were willing to lie and murder. They were willing to kill someone to preserve their power. And it was very clear.
As I wrote to you on the back of the program during the sermon in pencil, you know, pulled a little pencil out of the back of the pew in front of me. I said, I guess calling Mitt Romney a pedophile was a bridge too far.
Because Mitt's the good one.
He's the centrist.
He's the respectable one. He's the one who can bring the right and the extreme right together. But Mitt said a bad thing. Mitt
voted for Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Yes, he said the bad thing, and he stayed. He didn't run out of the room. He stayed and he applauded.
So
he must be a pedophile.
He must be a pro-pedophile.
He's pro-pedophile. And that was like, and something snapped.
I think that really was it. I think that was the thing that snapped him. I do. That kind of rhetoric, the behavior of the senators in front of this extremely qualified SCOTUS candidate.
Right.
Who happened to be a black woman. The entire behavior of the Republican Party in that regard, and specifically Mitt Romney is pro-pedophile.
Right.
Was just, come on, just a bridge too far.
And you could just hear the sound of, okay, I'm tearing up the first sermon I had in mind, and I'm going to write a second one. And the second one is all about despicable, political, power-hungry assholes.
Criminals, yes,
who are willing to lie, cheat, and murder honorable men and women to preserve their power. And and that's like, oh, okay, all right. And, you know, I was looking around to see who was squirming in their seat.
You know, I didn't see anybody squirming in their seats.
I didn't either.
I think they just don't get it.
It doesn't apply to us. They can't be talking about us.
No.
We're on the side. We love little babies.
Yeah.
And that's why we want to strap women to a table and force them to give birth because, you know, all life is precious. You know?
Yeah.
And they don't see this in themselves. And they never will. If they did, oh my God.
The self-awareness is missing. So that's fine.
It sort of has to be. But it was a moment when you and I sort of looked at each other and went, oh, that's the line. That's the line.
And I had an exchange with the gay choir director, too.
Yeah.
So afterwards about the same thing. Like, calling Mitt Romney pro-pedophile was a bridge too far. And, oh, yeah, that's right. I also want to tie that into my favorite Easter movie, Life of Brian.
Oh, okay. We have different favorite Easter movies, so that's fine.
Well, you're Moses, aren't you?
I'm 100% Ten Commandments. Give me that all day long. You know, just pump that into my arm. I can quote that movie back and forth. It is so campy and wonderful.
Yes, it's very campy.
And weird. And Yvonne DiCarlo's in it. And, you know.
No, I love Life of Brian. And I see it as an actual religious movie because you see in it all of the utter foibles of humanity. And it's so, to me, it's so timely in terms of all of the frauds and grifters and charlatans that were around in Jesus' time are still here. And so it's human nature to have this group of nut jobs surrounding you. I recommend that.
And I recommend the follow-on debate that was had. I think Terry Jones, John Cleese debated like the cardinal of the Anglican church.
Something like
and
that.
A bunch just of other kind of like, who are you?
Yeah.
It's so awful. Right. They were like, and they were correcting them on their
theology. The scripture. So, yeah.
No, it's not blasphemous. It's heretical. For goodness sakes, understand the difference between the two. Like, and you know, and if you've seen the movie, because all of these, you know, old white men, old farty white church fathers who were like, mm-hmm. it's an insult to Jesus. Jesus isn't even in the movie. He's in the movie at the top of a mountain giving a speech, very respectfully treated, not mocked in any way. No. It is the people in the audience who are like, what did he say? Oh, yeah. And completely misinterpret everything. They're the butt of the jokes.
They are.
And it is
the people who mistake Brian for Jesus.
Yes,
over and over again when he just wants to be left alone. Yeah.
Because they're desperate to believe in some Messiah somewhere.
Yeah. And they will throw themselves around. There's a lot of fake messiahs running around trying
to get
money.
There were tons of people who were all sort of vying for the title of Messiah.
Yes, absolutely.
And
just like the Republican primaries today.
Yes. Well, and I regret to say that one of the non-fatal casualties of all this is John Pavlovitz.
Yeah.
Who's a church guy.
He writes about faith and spirituality a lot.
And has for a long time. And and he, over the last couple of weeks, has written about, he wrote a post called A Funeral for My Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to read a paragraph because it's a fine read, but it's sad. And
the background is that he was Facebook friends with someone that he used to do a lot of church work with.
Yeah.
And was working side by side with face to face for a long time. Then, you know, they changed jobs. They moved around. They were still Facebook friends for whatever that's worth. And at one point, he read a post by her that was, Jesus, Donald Trump, Jesus, Donald Trump. And right. I'm for Trump. And if you're not for Trump, you're not a Christian. And all of the other bullshit that you can well imagine.
Right.
So, and then he wrote this article, A Funeral for My Christianity, it's called.
Yeah.
In response to that. So go ahead and read the paragraph.
Just one paragraph. And he writes, many times over the past few decades, my faith tradition has been life to me. It's been the place I found hope and rest. There was something bigger than that I knew what I was a part of. And in the people of Jesus, I felt like I belonged. This faith isn't giving me life anymore. I am no longer finding hope and rest there. I don't belong in that gathering like I once did. This is cause for real mourning. Mm-hmm. And... Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to take maybe our word for it that he's in a lot of pain. This is a real loss. Whether you believe in a sky god or not, it doesn't really matter.
That's
he
right.
does. And he believes in it deeply, and it gave him a lot of solace and gave him a lot of direction. Now it's gone. And it's gone because a staggeringly large number of people in that particular group are cultists and always have been. Mm-hmm. I mean, once the wound heals over, you know, I want to take him back to the good old days of Jerry Falwell.
Yeah.
When Ronald Reagan welcomed that asshole into the Republican Party, gave him a seat at the big boy table. And all of Jerry Falwell's very, very horrendously racist, homophobic beliefs. All of the people who were shocked the Republican Party has become what it's become. The Charlie Sykeses, who swears the Republican Party didn't hate gays until a few weeks ago. I want to take him by the. I know, and he's. And I listened to his fucking podcast today, and it's the same thing every goddamn day. He comes up. You know, can you believe Republicans hate gays now? I mean, what's this all about LGBT stuff? I mean, gosh, you think it was the 70s? And I'm like, you were talk radio for 30 years, and you never noticed Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, all the rest of the religious bigots, Ronald Reagan's history on AIDS. You never noticed that 2004. Matthew Dowd and Karl Rove got George Bush elected by bashing gay people. You really never noticed
family amendments on the ballot in Ohio.
Are you brain damaged? Are you having some sort of episode? Because this again is why you don't. I think it's kind of a ridiculous idea to engage with these people as if they were arguing good faith because they're not.
No, they're not. One more thing about John Pavlovitz, and this is connecting to my own personal story, which is when I have felt, and I felt very much like he does, about maintaining a relationship with the church that you and I go to.
Right.
The church is in the process of splitting over gay issues, and it's taking forever. Partly because of
COVID.
I mean, that's just COVID put all of our face-to-face meetings on the shelf, and no one wanted to talk about it without being face-to-face. I think it was the deal. But the American Church, the United Methodist Church in the United States, most 80% are very pro-gay rights and pro having gays get married in the church, having gays serve as pastors, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And that 20% that's dividing, they made damn sure that they could take the money in the church buildings with them when they left. And then once that was sealed, they're out and they're separated and they're leaving. And I say bye. But it's been, to me, very challenging to remain a part of the United Methodist Church while we're not. The official line is we don't ordain gay people and we don't marry gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just pro forma, I think, at this point. We are going to change, and in practice, we'll be ordaining anyone regardless of sexual orientation and marrying people as well. But waiting is the hardest part. I mean, a lot of other denominations are way, way ahead of us on this.
And this is what, you know, this is what religions do.
Yeah.
They do. I mean, the history of religion, human religion, is the history of schisms and splits and wars and heresies and fighting over trivial shit and fighting over really important shit, fighting over whether or not the earth goes around the sun or the other way around.
Yeah.
Fight. And it always comes down to, you know, an issue that the institution is far too slow to address.
Exactly.
And there's a hierarchy on top that doesn't want things to change because this is what we know. This is what we believe in.
And that is utterly hypocritical.
Yeah.
The institution 100%. Is 100% hypocritical. Yeah.
But they don't recognize their own hypocrisy.
Right.
Because they can find a quote in the Bible that says, "I'm not a hypocrite. You're a sinner."
Yeah.
And you can either wait generation after generation for them to slowly evolve out of that position, which, you know, it doesn't really happen, or you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
You can launch reform movements, but they'll just leave too. So you do get institutions tend to break apart and come together over issues that are unresolvable by the institution. There is no way to bridge the gap between slavery and abolition. Yeah. There just isn't. They tried and tried. Lincoln tried. It is not resolvable. You have to either go to war and one side wins or you separate.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a country big enough where we can, in fact, separate over some things. And it's fairly harmless. There's not a lot of casualties. There's a lot of real estate problems and hassles over money, but that's about it. But that's what's happening. And I don't want to belong to any institution that has to sort of sidestep the question when it comes to how do you treat people?
Exactly.
How do you treat LGBT? Well, it's complicated. That's the wrong answer.
No, it's not. Sorry. It's not complicated.
No.
And so but I think when you say being involved in an institution, that's where I draw the line is I'm not involved in that institution and I'm not going to be involved in that institution.
Mm-hmm.
So the choice that I make to be involved with a church, with an individual church, comes down to, am I serving the community by doing, I mean, right now they're doing a diaper drive for poor mothers. They're doing plastic blankets for the homeless. They're making mats, you know, for the underneath the sleeping bags for homeless people. There's mission work that they're doing for Ukraine, for local community stuff. I mean, if my focus is on that and what can I do to help change the world and make the world a better place, that's where I'm going to focus my energy.
Yeah.
And this institutional stuff and supporting that institution, I'm not going to do because if it comes down to, am I enabling the institution to continue to discriminate? And that's the question I ask every day, you know, am I enabling an institution to continue to discriminate, I'm going to quit. If the answer comes back yes, then I'm going to quit.
Yeah.
So.
And I will be out in the parking lot warming up the car.
Yep.
Nope, we're gone. Sorry.
Yep.
No more ushering. No more liturgizing. No more nothing. Someone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. But there are a number of gay people within that congregation who are suffered to be so. Now we see it's going in the right direction. There's going to be a vote. We're going to get this done. And mm-hmm. I realize it's like turning the a major ship around. It takes time. Mm-hmm. And I grieve over that. I grieve over the time it's taken.
Well, and it is very telling. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's healthy in a way. This is happening everywhere.
Yeah.
On all kinds of issues. It's happening in Oklahoma. It's happening in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. It's happening in Alabama over different right. issues. But we're getting down to some issues that cannot be bridged.
Yeah. Well, and that's where I have a lot of sympathy for our atheist friends who look at me and say, Fran, that sky god is oppressing people all over the place.
Right.
And looking at that big picture, you know, we have an American Taliban trying to control
women
and punch down every mm-hmm. day on people who are disenfranchised.
Yes, they do. And they do it in the name of that book in their hand.
They do. And the mm-hmm. book that I read every day.
Right. So I do not discount their position. I don't discount their point. If I were on the outside looking in mm-hmm. As a blank slate, I'd say, well, it seems to me the common problem here is this church thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not. And I'm biased. And I'm not going to evangelize anybody. I'm not going to try to drag them in the door, but I'm going to tell you what I think. And a lot of my liberal ideas come from this guy who, believe it or not,
guy who was born in Nazareth, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And there's a
series of commercials. I said I wouldn't evangelize. There's a series of commercials in black and white that I think are just awesome. And it's like one of us. You know, and this guy let his hair down too. This guy pissed off authorities too. This guy cared about the poor too. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sort of like with Gandhi on this. I'm going to misquote, but, you know, I like the Jesus guy, but it's his followers I have a real problem with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's always been that way. It's always
yes,
been
yes, it has. And, well, that's and why I brought up Life of Brian too. Same yeah. thing.
You well, know? And you can see the overlap between the people inside of institutions in religious institutions and the people inside of political institutions
mm-hmm.
who are, you just look at them and go, why the hell can you possibly, how can you hold this belief and call yourself that? And the answer is, well, because you're worse. Mm-hmm. My faith tells me you're worse. Mm-hmm. My faith tells me I'm saved and you're a sinner. My mm-hmm. faith tells, my religion, my politics tells me that you're an evil socialist scumbag who hates America mm-hmm. and I'm a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't bridge those kind of gaps. You just can't. You can find things to work on together. Everybody needs sidewalks, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody likes a good farmer's market. But mm-hmm. when it comes to, you know, the future of society, there are some things where Lincoln was right. We will become all one thing or all another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. what we're fighting right now, is that the bad people are kind of winning right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they're piling up a lot of victories, and they're piling up a lot of resources on their side that are going to be really hard to overcome. And that's where I kind of look around going, well, you know, I don't like where this is headed. I'm glad I'm with the woman I'm with. I'm glad I'm with the community I'm with, because I'd feel really alone and terrified.
Yep.
If I were looking down the barrel of the future alone, without this wonderful podcast community and without all the crazy liberals I know. But it's a scary time.
Yes, it is. But Jed Legume had this no good, very bad idea drift class.
Yes.
Bless his heart.
Yeah, he tries. He tries.
Okay. Yeah, he has no good, very bad idea. I believe it's essential to deeply engage with people who disagree with you politically. And so let's listen to both sides of the abortion debate.
Right.
And the entirety of Twitter said to him,
took a giant shit. Nope. Nope. That's not what. Nope. And
you cannot deny the rights of 51% of the public.
And
when it's a life or death situation for many of them, and it's an economic autonomy and bodily autonomy. You don't debate bodily autonomy. That's such a white guy thing to do, because you have unlimited bodily autonomy. There are no laws controlling men's bodies.
No, no.
So
and
that was that.
well, he took it in the shorts.
He did.
And I will quote now from Athena.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both know in real life, and she's now working for Dame Magazine, and more power to her. But this is her tweet from a couple of days ago, or yesterday rather.
Yesterday it happened.
The very idea after the past 20 years of watching the GOP that we should be ashamed of anything at all ever again, or reach across the aisle, or try to understand. I understand just fine. You fucking suck and you want my friends dead. You change.
Yep.
Period. Yep. I'm done. Yep. I'm done. I am 100% finished trying to reach out to people because we've done it before. Like I said, the Clinton administration was an extended 8-year experiment in reaching out to Republicans. They told them to fuck off and die and they impeached him. The Obama administration was an extended experiment in the perfect David Brooks middle candidate who will compromise anything to get something done. And the Republican Party said, let's fuck him over. Let's trash everything. We'll filibuster our own bills. We'll sabotage him. And then we'll run against him as not getting anything done. By the way, we'll also run an extremely racist campaign. Then we'll nominate the king of the birthers. No, no. Reaching across the aisle doesn't work. You have to focus your mind on, these people are not people to be reasoned with. They're not to be negotiated with. They're to be crushed. They need to be swept aside. Their politics needs to no longer be part of our political conversation. And the only way to do that is to beat them because they're never going to compromise. Mitch McConnell has already said, I'm never appointing another Democratic judge. You know, he has already said, forget it. I don't care what happens. If Biden can nominate anybody, but there's going to be no more nominations. He's saying it out loud. They are a fascist party. And we now have in this country about a third of the people are pro-fascist and about a third of the people don't care either way. And the way you get the people in the middle moving in your direction, I swear to God, is greed and fear. Scare them or bribe them because nothing else is going to work. So I'm for whatever you can come up with, I'm on board with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I also want to talk a little bit about people who misremember the past. Like we touched briefly on the folks who couldn't seem to remember the Republican Party ever being anti-gay. Before, yep. You know, a couple of weeks ago when it suddenly popped up out of nowhere. There's also, I wrote a thing about the cult of Buckley because the Republican Party history for the past, let's say 40 years, you can say 50, you can say 30, I don't disagree with you, but for most of the adult life of everybody involved in politics and certainly in the Never Trump movement has been a shitty, awful place. Has been full of terrible people doing awful things and lying and cheating and corrupt as hell and wingnuts doing all kinds of crazy trash things. They can't reconcile their vision of themselves to being a person who sat still for that or supported for that or worked for that. And now they're all surprised that shit went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to invent a history in which they were once glorious. The good old days.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to pretend that this party wasn't shit my entire adult life. Because what does that say about me, Tim Miller? What does it say about you that you were part of a party that hated people like you, that wanted to extinguish people like you your entire life and you never fucking noticed?
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about you? That you like tax cuts? Great. That's terrific. And so every now and then, these people circle back to, remember when Bill Buckley rose up and tossed the Birchers out of the party? And purge the Republican Party of those. And every now and then, they have to bring up this thoroughly debunked myth. Because without Buckley, what do they have? They have Rush Limbaugh and Newt Gingrich.
Well, they've conveniently forgotten that Bill Buckley spent like 5 years defending Nixon, too.
Yeah. Oh, they forget a lot of stuff, honey.
Yeah.
They forget a whole. But the sentence that Tim Miller tweeted out was, modern conservatism was built by purging the right's reckless conspiracy theorists. But now they've taken over. Now they've taken over. The Birchers are back and they're winning. All right. They never left. They've always been part of your party. Bill Buckley tossed one of them out the front door in a very, very theatrical way and was perfectly happy to work with them off the books, perfectly happy to work with them behind the scenes because he knew goddamn well.
Kitchen. As long as they didn't show up in the parlor during cocktail hour,
he was worried about Birchers in leadership. He didn't want people to be able to point to one of these lunatics and say, is he part of the leadership team? But Bill Buckley knew, as Tim Miller knows, as Rick Wilson knows, as Steve Schmidt knows, that these assholes do the phoning banking and they do the
cannot the win elections licking, without them. Absolutely.
And they knock doors and you cannot win a Republican election without these douchebags.
Red
and
so they state were perfectly fundies. Yep.
Absolutely. You cannot win an election without these guys. And every one of these people knows it, but they cannot acknowledge to themselves that they were perfectly willing to put up with, you know, a little bit of fascism, a whole lot of racism, but that was down the hall. That was in my room. That was a couple rooms down.
Don't you think that's also part of the Manhattan circle? We don't have people like that in our party, because everyone that you know in Manhattan who's a Republican is a well-educated Yalie.
Sure.
And we laugh about the hicks in the Iowa caucuses who are fundamentalist, racist, homophobes.
Absolutely. But here's the point. Mm-hmm. The Manhattan people who never leave Manhattan are free to laugh about this stuff.
Yeah, right.
But there are people who have to go and organize in those states.
Right.
And
win
elections in those states and are responsible for winning elections in those states. So they have to know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
They have to know that the Republican Party right below the surface is. Oh,
and Rick Wilson putting in his book, you've got to throw the conspiracy theorists out of the party.
Yeah.
Come on, Rick.
Well, and the
you best Taylor adds to those people for a living.
And the best analogy I could find was the Lost Cause.
Yeah.
The Southern Lost Cause. Yeah. And mighty appropriate, too, because the South needed to have not lost the war.
Uh-huh.
They needed to be the noble, morally superior group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't admit that the thing they were fighting for was fundamentally horrible. And they were horrible to fight for it. So they had to invent a mythology in which, well, see, what really happened was we were the good guys and the bad guys just overwhelmed us with, you know, resources and whatnot. But there's a nobility in what we did, and there was a tradition to what we did, and blah, 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 blah. And Bill Buckley was a great guy. And, you know, the GOP used to be a wonderful place. People used to come here who just loved liberty so goddamn much. And Buckley threw all the bad people out, just like Michael Steele threw all the bad people out of the party during the 3 years he was chairman. And it is the fact that these people only front these stupid, ridiculous lies that they tell themselves and their friends. This is what we tell our grandkids. Oh, no, Daddy wasn't a racist. Daddy was a member of the GOP, and he helped Bill Buckley. He personally escorted 1,000 Berkshires out the front door. No, Daddy was a racist, and that's why he was a member of the Republican Party. But you don't tell your kids that.
Yeah, but that's why CRT and those kind of things is so popular among that party.
Exactly. We can't talk about what really happened.
We don't want to talk about grooming. We don't want to have our children know about grab them by the pussy. We don't want them to know about Meemaw having used the N-word every day.
No. And we don't want to talk about great, great Meemaw sleeping her way across the Atlantic.
Right.
as a Russian or as an Irish immigrant.
Yeah, yeah.
To get to the United States and enter here. Well, there was no immigration code.
No,
so
open
illegally.
Borders.
Right.
The only reason their ancestors got in the country was open borders.
Right. Yeah. We don't want to talk about that. That's very inconvenient. And we'd rather
Italian,
not discuss that.
Italian granny never learned English.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
No.
Yeah.
But well, and that's all fine. I have no problem with that.
I don't have no problem with that either.
Yeah. I have a problem with this big bucket of whiteout they used to take all the icky parts out.
Yeah.
And only remember the historic deeds, and they need to misremember their own history, because you can't talk about Bill Buckley as he really was and the strategies he really used and what the Republican Party was really like and the conservative movement was really like and so forth. You have to make them into a marble statue.
All right, but Dirk, can we dovetail that into the New York Times editorial page?
Oh, sure.
Because, go ahead.
Because why not? I mean, it's there
Those
are eight.
Eight conservative men, right.
There are eight conservative men who are not making any apologies, Blue Gal. And I decided not to write about this too much this week because I've already written about it. Although I did write a little post entitled, I'm sorry, it's a long title. Today in Magic Ruralism, an open letter on the behalf of those of us who were actually in the Blue Bottle Saloon in Wichita the night English Bob killed Corky Corcoran. Unforgiven.
Unforgiven movie, right.
It's when Gene Hackman is sitting there with a comic book explaining what a fucking hero English Bob was. And English Bob is beaten up and sitting in a cell. And Gene Hackman's like, that's not how it happened at all. That is not how it happened at all. Here's what really happened. You know, he was a coward. He was drunk. He murdered him, straight up murdered the other guy because his guns blew up in his hands. And he's holding this comic book about the Duke of Death.
Yeah.
And the glorification of this guy. And it's a point I made about genre writing. that L. Ron Hubbard, founder of Scientology, wrote in every genre you can think of. But L. Ron Hubbard didn't write Man Killers of the Air to raise the public's awareness of air traffic safety.
Right.
He wrote it because people would pay him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I, as a working writer, am fascinated by this genre of bullshit, this genre of fiction in which we march out into the dark continent and interview or bring to New York conservatives, Trump voters in various diners across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly thought this thing would die out a couple of years ago because it's such a weird and dumb and artificial category. Because, you know, you write for money. Who's paying to keep sending people into the countryside, finding Trump voters in diners and asking them what they think of Donald Trump? And the answer is New York Times, The Washington Post.
Yeah.
And they did it again.
And they got widely slammed for it. And they'll do it again because it's their model. It's their business model.
But it's such a terrible precedent. And the stuff they picked up from these people was, I promised my readers I wouldn't reprint the entire article. But can I read you just two things from the article?
Sure. And then let me respond. All right.
One is from Christopher. Mm-hmm. I support feminism, but I don't support modern feminism. I think that modern feminism is focused on so-called toxic masculinity, and they're actually purveyors of man bashing. And so I support femininity and feminism, not to the point where they're looking to hoist themselves above men to try to make up for so-called patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a very well-developed opinion there. And then we have Danny, who I refer to as Mr. I never got over that one time I was cut off in traffic by a Nissan Leaf.
Yeah.
Danny says, nobody follows the rules or laws. Stop signs are voluntary. Red lights are voluntary. Nobody gets punished for doing the wrong things anymore. We reward mediocrity. Well, clearly we do because we give him column inches in the New York Times.
Sure.
Way to go, Danny. And I nicknamed Christopher Mr. These modern broads don't want to fuck. Bet you they're all lesbians. Thanks a lot, Brandon. These assholes never change. And interviewing them now or 10 years from now or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you would have gotten the same answers. We know what they think already. We live with them. If you would like to know what they think and why they think it and what environment they thrive in, come talk to some liberal who lives next door to these people. And we'll tell you all about them. But quit giving these lunatics, these atavistic child men, space in the New York Times.
Times seems to have a split personality that they run things like that. And then in the same week, and I'm grateful to Lawrence O'Donnell for pointing this out by name, mentioning the column that you talked about and how they were dragged for it. And that the counterpoint to that editorial page nonsense is a column by Tressie McMillan Cottom, who has been added to the New York Times editorial page.
Uh-huh.
She is a sociologist, African-American woman, very smart.
Right.
And she wrote an article about what shame got to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it undercuts this. And I'm so grateful to Lawrence for saying, look, here's the article that totally undercuts this BS.
Right.
The idea of the conservative man article was, we should not be shamed for saying what we say about politics. People are trying to shame us. And this is something that Marjorie Taylor Greene says all the time. They're trying to shame me for being a conservative.
Let me be clear. They're trying to shame and shut us up.
Right. And shut us up by making us feel ashamed of what we really believe.
Right.
And that's to shut us up.
And I have learned, time and again, the best way to shut someone up is by giving them an unlimited access to the New York Times.
right.
What? Well, you're in the goddamn New York Times complaining about you don't have a platform.
No one's listening. Right. But Tressie McMillan Cottom said that there's a difference between shame and stigma. And that what people who say that, who say you're trying to shut me up with shame, are really talking about is being stigmatized for being a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
No one is stigmatized for being a conservative. It is not going to harm you in any way to be a white person barking about how much you love Trump. There's no cost to pay for that.
Right.
Whereas African-American women are repeatedly not hired because of their hair.
Yeah.
And that is a stigma. And so, like I said, Lawrence O'Donnell put these two editorials up against each other, mm-hmm. and had Tressie McMillan Cottom on the show to talk about this. And it's on YouTube. It's well worth 8 minutes of your time to watch the interview. She's mm-hmm. very smart, and she really gets it that, you know, no one is going to shame Marjorie Taylor Greene. You're not shaming her.
No.
She doesn't stop talking.
Or her voters. But
that shame, actual shame, is actually often a positive emotion.
Right.
It prevents you from going outside with your pants off and hopefully behaving in a way that is socially allows you to get through your day without doing real harm to yourself.
Uh-huh.
But the other part of that that they didn't get into, but I think is a corollary to this, is the number of times, as I've said before, the MAGA lottery of behaving badly in order to defend Trump, defend conservatism. If that gets you a plain folks interview on Fox, you've won.
Right.
And so that those plain folks interviews that Hannity does of, you know, this is just a gym owner who wants to not wear a mask while he's exercising, and this is someone who objected to cancel culture mm-hmm. and was harmed by whatever, you know, wanted to not bake gay cakes, you know, and they get an interview on Hannity, and that's what they win. That is the winning prize that they get. So
they get the grievance award.
The grievance award.
Yeah.
And that's what Fox doles out every day.
Yeah. Well, and I guess I'm getting old, Blue Gal, because I remember these men's rights, Iron John.
Oh, yeah.
Feminists are going to make us all, you know, sissified from the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, my point being that I don't know who needs to hear from Danny anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who mm-hmm. needs to hear. We know what you think. Who are you talking to? Who are you trying to communicate with? We all know you. We're
but it's not to get anyone to listen. It's to maintain a structure that includes a horse race election every single time.
Oh no, I understand.
Or audience.
I understand that. I understand the shtick that's going on here.
Right, right.
I understand what the commercial and cultural structures the New mm-hmm. York Times has created for itself mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. permits this and rewards this kind of nonsense. I'm saying from an objective, sociological, political point of view, nobody needs to hear from these people anymore.
Right.
Because they have never changed their opinions. They're the same arrested man babies they were 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
their opinions, you could just pluck any opinion you want, cast it back to Rush Limbaugh 1985, and you'd find virtually no difference. They haven't evolved at all. The only thing that's changed is having terrible opinions, having racist opinions, now comes with a certain degree of consequence.
Yeah.
And that's what they're mad about. They're not ashamed of holding deeply held, terrible beliefs.
Right.
They're pissed that people they disrespect and think are beneath them are now in a position to hold them account for things.
Mm-hmm.
They won't cost me my job, but, you know, did you hear about the guy in Iowa who was fired? Because he forced his class to use pronouns all the time. Well, that never fucking happened. But in his imagination, it did. And in his imagination, liberals are out there. We're all 12 feet tall and we're all hunting them for sport.
Yes,
and where do they get that impression? Where do they get this delusion? They get it by never leaving Fox News, by never mm-hmm. turning off Fox Radio or hate radio. And that's why you don't need, because it's all reruns with them. It's all
right. But Driftglass, let me ask you something then about that.
Sure.
To what extent, and you and I do, as you watch me watch Fox for work, right?
I do.
And to what extent am I enabling them? I worry about, we want to expose what's going on there
right.
and mm-hmm. correct the record and so forth. But so much of what's going on in Fox this year, and I'm sure in previous election years, is just to flood the zone. To
yeah, it's
flood
just trash.
The zone. And this is something that Claire McCaskill was talking about on Lawrence last night, that you get to the point where what scandal do you address? You know, do you address it? We're going to talk about some of these in our news roundup. You know, there's the gift list to Trump is missing. Oh, really?
Right. Yeah.
the boxes that he stole, the tax evasion, the the rapes, you know, the sexual harassment. And then you get to the overturning of democracy.
Right.
And what, there's so much criminality and Jared's $2 billion from the Saudis. And because Fox has flooded the zone, that is paired with Tucker, Hunter Biden.
Sure.
That story is, you know, not the same in so many levels, not the same. First of all, because the Hunter Biden laptop story is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. There is no laptop, by the way.
There is no laptop.
There is an image. There is no actual laptop. There's an image, and never mind. That's a rabbit hole down which I will not go.
Right.
But
there's no chain of custody, and there's no laptop. So
let me put it this way. All of the things you have mentioned are letting the bad guys frame the issue.
Right, right. You know, that's what I worry about.
A thousand glittery things, mm-hmm. and there's an infinite number of them coming down the assembly line, and they're all designed to make you mad, raise your blood pressure, and make the Republican base angrier and keep them at a high boil all the time. So I guess my question is, are you enabling this? I don't think so, but mm-hmm. but I would ask further, what do you see as your job, your mission in all of this?
I have a big sign on my computer. Mm-hmm. Punch conservatives, elect Democrats. That's my mission statement for work.
I have listened, as you know, to a lot of Never Trump podcasts, and a lot of them say, look, it's not my job to comfort Democrats. It's, you know, I'm here to be honest. I'm here to tell you what I really think. I don't care what you really think. So I'm going to bash the left and the right. I'm going to hold everybody accountable. So nowhere in that mix do you hear, I'm trying to get Democrats elected because Republicans are fascists.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is not what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's not in their interest zone at all. They're mm-hmm. interested in building an audience of people who got run out of the GOP and yet hate Democrats, hate liberals, yep. really, really hate liberals. They, like mm-hmm. I said, they've hated Trumps for 5 years. They hated liberals for 40 years. They grew up hating people like us. That's not going to change. So they don't view their role as knocking doors to get Democrats elected. These guys have big platforms, you know, mm-hmm. 100 times bigger than you and I have. Never occurs to them that using that platform to put Democratic candidates on the air to do exactly what they hate Democrats for not doing. Why don't Democrats fight more? Why isn't their messaging better? Okay, why aren't you putting Katie Porter on your goddamn show?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. You have a big fucking platform. I don't. You do. Why don't you put Democratic candidates in front of a microphone and try to get them elected? Well, because you're happier jerking off to Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger all mm-hmm. the time, as if those two are going to make any difference at all. The way you fix the country is by winning elections. The way you win elections is by beating Republicans. And a whole lot of people aren't interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
They're interested in their audience share, their clicks, their advertisers, and finding all the people who feel dispossessed from both parties so they can talk about a third way, maybe a different way. Maybe we can find a middle ground. And the only one I can see who's any different really is Stuart Stevens. I've said this before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who said, and I know I'm repeating this from last week, who was asked, look, what if the Democrats had nominated Bernie Sanders? He said, I'd be knocking doors for Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
He gets mm-hmm. it. The rest of them don't. The rest of them spend all of the time bitching about what Democrats aren't doing to suit them. Well, why don't you do that stuff?
That's a programming marketing concept for their show.
Exactly.
It's not about doing any good for the country.
No. So what are you and I doing? I want to get Democrats elected.
Yeah.
I want to give people the vocabulary to understand the world they live in and why they shouldn't go chasing off after every shiny object, because there's an infinite number of shiny objects. Why?
Well, that's what I meant by flood the zone and not following every wave that comes every time Jeanine Pirro opens her pie hole on Saturday night, you know.
And that's why I say I've written all that. For me, all that is in one big box, which mm-hmm. is I peek in it every now and then, but it doesn't matter because it's always going to be the Pizzagate. Then there'll be Hillary's emails. Right. It doesn't matter. They just have an infinite
Hunter Biden was born in Kenya.
Yeah. But it's always going to be that. So if you're chasing any of those things individually, other than to tell people out there, these are the bad guys
mm-hmm.
and this is
mm-hmm.
their strategy and this is why they're hurting us. And this is what you can do to stay informed and stay focused on getting them the fuck out of office, then that's fine. But mm-hmm. if you're can't tell you the number of radio shows and podcasts I listen to where it's like, can you believe what Mitch McConnell said yesterday? Here's a 5-minute tape of what Mitch McConnell said yesterday. I don't give a shit what Mitch McConnell, I don't need to know the TikTok of every horrible thing every Republican did. But there's a whole bunch of, you know, liberal radio shows and a bunch of liberal podcasts that think I need to know exactly every little fucking thing that the Republicans did today. I don't need to know that.
You're like the Hulk, Driftglass. You're always angry at Republicans.
I'm always angry. I need to know.
You don't need to have that ire refreshed by listening to how bad Republicans are. Some people do.
There's still blood on my teeth from Vince Foster.
There you go.
I don't need any more motivation. But what I do need, and what I think people in our universe needs, are a way to focus their energy and attention on what they can do that's mm-hmm. productive and directed at getting Democrats elected. Period. That's really the game. That's everything. And every time you hear someone, but did you hear what Madison Cawthorn said today? I assume it was something crazy and stupid and a racist. Am I right? Well, yes. But do you want to hear the details? No, I don't, because my brain's already full of this shit. I don't need to be taught lessons I already know. What I need to know is, how do I get Madison Cawthorn the fuck out of office and make him irrelevant? That's what I need to know. Speaking of that, let's go to a news roundup where we'll go over every little detail of everything we...
The Bidening continues. The Biden administration extended the coronavirus public health emergency for another 90 days, allowing millions of Americans to keep getting free tests, vaccines, and treatments for at least 3 more months. Driftglass and I got our second booster shot on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and it was good. It was a good thing to do.
Well, you know, you emerged unscathed.
Completely. I had no ill effects whatsoever, period. Mm-hmm. And Driftglass was not so fortunate.
No,
he had a sore arm.
My arm hurt. I felt like I had a boo-boo on my arm. And you know what? If I'm offered another booster, I'm going to get it tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
The State Department is unable to compile a complete list of gifts presented to Trump, his family, Mike Pence, or other U.S. officials by foreign governments in 2020. Because they're all in Trump's backyard and all in his fucking trunk. Under federal law, government departments and agencies are required to submit a list to the State Department of gifts over $415 received from foreign governments to guard against potential conflicts of interest and undue influence over American officials. The department, however, said the Trump administration left office without providing an accounting of gifts because he stole them all.
Yep. Influence, conflicts of interest, undue influence over American officials. I mean, like, Putin is a genius.
That's how we get shit done in this White House, you know?
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
2 months after endorsing Governor Greg Abbott for re-election, the Texas Trucking Association is speaking out against his stepped-up truck inspections that have halted shipping at key ports of entry in Texas. U.S. Customs and Border Protection called the state inspections ordered by Governor Greg Abbott unnecessary and said commercial traffic at the Texas-Mexico border has dropped 60% since they began. It's gotten so bad that Texas's ag director, you know, who's an appointed Republican, has said this has got to stop or we're going to have empty grocery shelves in Texas. It's dumb.
On the other hand, isn't Greg Abbott offering free bus rides to anybody who wants to go to Washington, D.C.?
He is. He is offering. This was such a he's such a fuck up.
Yeah.
He's just trying to win the primary and he's such a fuck up.
He's a Republican, right, Blue Gal?
He's a Republican. Punch Republicans. Yeah. Elect Democrats. Texas needs Beto. And this is something that breaks through. Go ahead and vote for Abbott in November and freeze your ass off in December and pay for the privilege. That's what you're going to do. Greg Abbott buses are taxpayer-funded Fox News stunt. Greg Abbott charged Texas taxpayers with the travel expenses for documented migrants, who wanted to go east. So he couldn't just pick up undocumented migrants at the border because then he would be guilty of human trafficking.
Well, and just to be clear, what his saying was, we have so many undocumented workers, I'm going to ship them all. ship all these
undocumented workers. I'm going to show Washington, D.C. what Texas has to deal with. So I'm going to bus.
Well,
I'm going to bus illegals to Washington. That's the way he wants to put it. I'm going to bus those illegals to Washington, D.C. so they can see what it's really like to be overrun with undocumented workers. Well, guess what? As someone on Twitter mentioned, this is a big city, Greg. Nobody notices when you bring one bus of brown people to D.C. Nobody's going to notice that.
Well, then he ran into the immediate problem of you can't transship
undocumented people across state lines and pretend it's not human trafficking. And you can't take unwilling people on a bus and transport them because that's kidnapping.
Right. Who are so here legally.
He wound up asking for volunteers from people who had been documented and released by the Customs and Border Patrol people.
Uh-huh.
Those people had been released pending a immigration hearing. So they're in the country waiting for their immigration hearing, and they have a document saying so. That means they're documented. Okay. Then he asked for volunteers who want to go to the East Coast. And the taxpayers are paying for the bus and for, believe it or not, chartered flights to D.C.
You know, Blue Gal, I'm suddenly feeling like I'm a documented alien. And I really, because I think you and I need a vacation.
We need a vacation to D.C.
I would like to volunteer for one of Greg Abbott's chartered flights. Washington, D.C. You know, we could visit some people in New York. We could go to Crooked Media headquarters and knock on their doors. Hey, guys.
From D.C., you can get a train all up and down the East Coast.
It's like he didn't think it through at all.
At all.
He thought of
the Fox News Chiron that it would create, and the bus parked outside Fox News headquarters in D.C. The studios in D.C. That's where the bus was parked.
And they all went
state taxpayer expense.
The picture in my mind is them all piling off the bus, happy as can be, with cameras in hand, taking pictures of all the big buildings and all the pretty sights in New York City. And then you know, my mind goes, what sort of person votes for this guy? The sort of person who's never going to hear about this.
Well, they're going to hear Steve Ducey talk about how great it is that Greg Abbott is making immigration an issue.
He's taking a stand. Because
the southern border is the only thing, you know, it's just this thing.
So we have a little bit of
It's like the people who tweet about all the fentanyl that was confiscated at the border.
Yes.
Don't you understand? That's enough fentanyl to kill 400 gazillion Americans.
Right.
You mean it was confiscated by the federal government under Joe Biden, right?
Mm-hmm. So Jeanine Pirro's mad because we confiscated her fentanyl before she can get it.
Yeah.
It's like singing Born in the USA at a Trump rally.
Exactly.
You know, like, wait a minute. No, no, no. No, you don't listen to the lyrics, do you? You don't listen to anything, do you? You just like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of Republican governors, Oklahoma's Republican governor, Kevin Stitt, signed into law a bill that virtually bans abortion in Oklahoma and makes providing an abortion a felony.
And the next day, Ron DeSantis in Florida signed a 15-week abortion ban. They're tripping over each other to get to Amy Coney Barrett.
Yep. And they're going to get there. Not before the election. I don't think before the election.
I think the Mississippi case is already scheduled for before the election.
The people who have been appointed, Republicans who've been appointed to the court the last 15 years are politicians.
Uh-huh.
They don't even pretend to be judges.
No.
And so as political hacks who understand their job is to get Republicans elected
and to do everything on the down low in terms of helping corporations.
Right.
Yes. Shadow docket everything. Yeah.
I think they might hold their fire until after the election and then cut loose with whatever.
Pay attention, people. Alabama's Republican governor and dumb meemaw, Kay Ivey, signed a law on Friday making gender-affirming medical care a felony in Alabama. Under the new rule, doctors could face up to 10 years in jail.
Uh-huh. You noticing a theme here? Yeah. The Kentucky House, the Republican Kentucky House, voted 72-29 to override the veto of SB 83. The trans girl athletics ban is now law in Kentucky.
On the other hand, Illinois' Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker announced a new $309 million assistance program for Illinois homeowners. Also headed for our governor's desk, a bill combating construction wage theft. The Coalition of Rainbow Alliances also awarded J.B. Pritzker the Ruth Ellis Award for LGBTQ support.
Mm-hmm.
He has signed a bill which incentivizes nursing homes to increase staffing by providing them with more state money if they increase staffing at their nursing homes. Unlike Florida, which has passed a bill written by the nursing home industry to say it doesn't matter how much staff you have, just whatever.
Pack them in. Pack them,
pack them in. In addition to all of that, on April 12th, Governor Pritzker tweeted this. I'll say it again. Abortion bans don't ban abortion. They only endanger the lives of women seeking essential health care. With reproductive freedom under attack from neighboring states, in Illinois, we'll always protect your right to choose.
So now that Alabama has done its thing and Florida has done its thing, Oklahoma has done its thing, and pretty much every state that has a Republican governor is lining up to overturn Roe versus Wade. My wife asked me a little while ago if there's a tweet from 2017 that I think is podcastable.
I did. I asked now, you that.
I had to look it up because the person who tweeted it blocked me for reminding him of things he said in 2017.
Sorry. I should have taken a screenshot. Sorry.
Oh, no. I have a friend of mine who has a different Twitter account who looked it up. So now I'm going to quote from the all being of expertise on all matters. A guy who wrote a book called Fuck You, I'm the Expert, I think it was titled.
I don't think that was the name of his book.
Never admits mistakes, who does not suffer fools gladly, who does not believe the Republican Party was in any sort of trouble before 2017. This is a quote from Tom Nichols, might have heard of him, from August 6th of 2017. Tom Nichols, Radio Free Tom, if in case you want to drop him a line on Twitter, said, abortion is never going to be illegal in the USA, but it's a triumph of the left's messaging that so many people think that it's imminent. Wow. Gosh, Tom. You want to
really stuck your dick in at that time.
Well, and he does that a lot. And then he ends up getting really testy with people who bring it up. Tom likes to talk about the 70s and the 60s when
the
he talks
70s,
about
you know,
when he was
70s?
Four. He was 7 years old and wasn't, I believe, a member of the Republican Party then, but gets really testy when you bring up things that happened during his adult lifetime that he supported. Anyway, I thought that was kind of adorable that that just happened to drop into my lap at the exact moment we were talking about how good our governor is compared to the lowlifes and Neanderthals who Republicans keep electing to ruin their states. Did you read the J.B. Pritzker tweet from 4 hours ago?
Hold on. Let me go look at it.
I've got it right here if you want me to read it.
Yeah, read it to me.
This is from our governor from 4 hours ago. Florida and Kentucky now join the slate of states rolling back the clock on reproductive rights. These cruel measures do nothing but harm those facing barriers in accessing essential health care services. As long as I'm governor, Illinois will protect your right to choose. Period. Boom. Best
governor.
It just
sounds like a great governor.
And you know what? If I were I look at the people running against him and I realize that there's $20 million slush fund out there from Illinois crackpot right-wing billionaires. We have them here who are trying desperately to find someone to fling up against him. But I think it's going to be an uphill battle all the way. The people who are running the Democratic gubernatorial campaign are already targeting pretty much every candidate who's running, who could potentially run against him, and doing a pretty good job of it. The people who are running for that job are the usual assortment of crackpots that you would expect. And they all love God and they all hate election fraud. And they all think, you know, blue lives matter. And I don't think that's going to get them over the finish line this year. I think we're going to have the same governor next year that we had this year. And I think that Illinois is a pretty good alternative to move to if you happen to be living in a state that's rushing backwards into the Dark Ages. So you're all welcome here.
Well, and as your wife wrote in 2012, we privileged white women with educations and laptops and smartphones and wide access to the Twitter streams of our congressmen cannot be neutral or even silent. When it comes to reproductive choice, we cannot do it. We can't afford to be silent or noncommittal. The culture war is here. We have to engage.
Darling?
Yeah.
This is why Danny doesn't like the new feminism. He likes the old feminism. Back when women shut their mouth and knew their place.
I see. Yeah. All right.
Mark Meadows, who is the former chief of staff to the Trump White House, has been removed from the voting rolls of North Carolina as officials investigate whether he fraudulently registered to vote and cast a ballot in the state during the 2020 presidential election.
Is he going to be put in jail
for five
like Democratic voters in Texas and other states have been for accidentally voting in election when they thought they were legally had a legal right to do so?
I think
so,
he'll
and
do
they got put in jail for 5 years?
I think he will do exactly the same amount of time as Ann Coulter did for voter fraud in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's okay if you're a Republican.
It always is okay if you're a Republican.
In December 2020, Trump called McConnell and other top Republicans to talk about his plan to overthrow the election. Instead of going public, McConnell kept quiet, fearing how the revelation would impact Republicans' chances in the Georgia Senate runoff. The rest of the story is that this story was broken by New York Times' Alex Burns, not as a timely New York Times story, but this week, too late, in his new book.
In his new book. And he is the latest in a long line of reporters mm-hmm. who decided not to do reporting.
Yeah.
Who decided to use the access that their title grants them to dig up juicy tidbits and then wait a year or so, or maybe two, to sell a book with those juicy tidbits they got because they have the title that they do and because they work at the place they work. Mm-hmm. I guess that's journalism now. Now, if you want a long and detailed article telling you everything you already know about Joe Manchin, the Rolling Stone has one for you entitled How Joe Manchin Knifed the Democrats and Bailed on Saving Democracy. Joe Biden Promised to Fix Voting Rights. The senator from West Virginia has other ideas. It's a long, long article. It's pretty good, but it really doesn't tell you anything you don't already know, that Joe Manchin, who all of our Never Trump friends say is the future of the Democratic Party, and we shall be grateful that he's on our side, just screwed us and is going
to
continue screwing us as long as the party
eliminate his power.
Just we do.
Overwhelm it.
We do.
Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an Internet Kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week, we have something very special. This week's Internet Kitty is from our angel nerd, Tammy.
Hey, Tammy.
She sent us a picture of a monarch butterfly chrysalis, which is in her possession, and she has named it Colonel Brandon. That's from Sense and Sensibility, if you don't know. She wants us to be alert to saving the monarch butterflies. This is the monarchy worth saving. So if you can, here are some tips. Plant milkweed, grow pollinator flowers, hang freshly poured nectar feeders.
So important.
And don't use pesticides, synthetic fertilizers, or weed killers. And also, you can foster monarch butterflies from egg to migration. Without foster parents, 90% of monarch butterflies don't live long enough to spin their silk into a chrysalis and become full butterflies. Remember, change is good. Metamorphosis, for butterflies especially, is life. And of course, Colonel Brandon will eat freshly poured butterfly nectar when he emerges from his chrysalis. Our fake sponsor. Whether you serve Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Direct, your adopted butterfly will flap their wings and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Colonel Brandon in his chrysalis state at our Facebook page or website. And you can send your internet kitty, dog, butterfly, sheep, all of it is welcome, to our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, We reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions. Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Hashtag fire to joy. And Tammy also did us a favor, Driftglass, this week. She has created a link. It is gofundme.proleftpod.com. That is a direct link to the GoFundMe that is helping to pay for my hearing aids.
That's correct.
I finally got that GoFundMe going. We have raised $700 out of the $5,600 that we need, and that's with little to no publicity. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. We deeply appreciate your support of me being able to hear. So thank you for that.
Trust me, about 90% of why this podcast is any good is our sound editor. And if she can't hear, this thing won't fly.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job, and we love doing this podcast. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal postal address information, the GoFundMe button at that website works. It's proleftpod.com. Share our show on social media, and thank you so much for doing that. If you love this podcast, please get someone else to listen to. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, after due consideration, the Internet Kitties have decided not to join the Twitter board of directors.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2022, DGBG Productions Incorporated.